Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep us screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, you're drinking wine. Wise boy, you're drinking wine.
Well, good morning on this beautiful Sunday mornings. It's turning out to be post-Christmas 2025, heading into a new year. Next week when we come back, it'll be a whole new year.
Yeah, it'll be a couple days old. It won't be brands. It won't have that new year smell anymore.
Okay. Close to it, though.
Yeah.
Close
what
to
does
it.
A new year's smell like? Hangover.
Yeah. Hangover and regret.
But new year, new me.
You never can get that right. Every year. It's a tradition. Mike, new something and new something. Something's new.
I knew it.
I knew something was new.
Yeah, that's it. But welcome to the show, folks. I hope y'all had a wonderful wonderful Thanksgiving,
wonderful
Christmas, and Easter. So,
yeah. I hope you had an enlightened solstice.
There you go.
That was a nifty Kwanzaa.
There you go.
Hope it's all good for you.
Yeah, hope it is. And hope 2026 is even better.
What'd you eat for Christmas?
Huh?
What'd you eat for Christmas?
Too much.
All the wrong stuff. Yeah, we had we did a pork tenderloin.
Ooh.
Mm. I had a couple of tuna fish sandwiches.
I wanted to do it on a smoker, but I got overruled by one person. So, but anyway, we did.
When are you going to take the plunge and do porchetta?
I don't know.
What is that?
Porchetta is a Italian roast of pork, which is where the pork comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You take the pork loin
mm-hmm.
and you wrap it inside a pork belly.
Hmm.
So that was what Simon did at the thing we were talking about earlier. And then you slow roast it. And what happens is the pork belly, which is the part that bacon is cut from,
mm-hmm.
gets insanely crisp on the outside. And the fats from it render into that really lean pork loin.
Mm.
And you just slice down it so you've got two different cuts of meat in there. It's just unbelievable.
That sounds like it. Wow. It is,
and the one that Simon Majumdar did with us with Chris Sherrill, was he asked Chris, I see you got the pork belly. Well, where's the pork loin? Pork loin? I didn't hear nothing about no pork loin. Well, what am I going to stuff it with? Chris Sherrill goes, we got an ice chest full of duck breast over here. So we stuffed the pork belly with duck breast.
Ooh.
Apples, maybe figs.
Wow.
Yeah. And just, oh my gosh, it was good. Because now really you've good. Got the same thing going on the inside that you do on the outside, which is all that crispy skin.
Whew.
Oh my gosh, that was the best porchetta.
Well, I found some, they call them pork ribeyes.
Yeah, pork ribeyes.
And I found two of those at a good price. I bought them. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to cook those, but I went to another store and I found a pork strap off half loin boneless. Now it sounds weird the way it's pronounced.
You got a picture
way to describe it? No, but it's about that long.
Yeah,
and about that round.
Yeah, that's the regular loin roast as opposed to the tenderloin, which is the smaller one.
So I got that, and we got days out of it. Still got some more left.
That's what goes inside the pork belly.
Yeah,
on porchetta
mm-hmm.
was the one that you got.
Yeah,
and you. You wrap it in it, and then you truss it up with butcher's twine all the way down every couple of inches. And that keeps it in a round roast shape.
You could have just wrapped some bacon around it, couldn't I?
Not exactly the same. With pork belly is not smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So you would actually be making that taste like bacon. Plus, it's, an inch and a half thick, not bacon.
So, do you put in a specific blend of spices along there?
Whatever you're in the mood for.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, generally in Italy, it probably would have been olive oil with basil and oregano, that kind of stuff, salt, pepper, garlic.
Wow.
It is incredible. I used to do it at Bella Sera. We would do porchetta there until it became impossible to get a butcher's twine. So what I would do is I would lay the pork loins on the bottom of the roasting pan and lay the pork belly flat on top of it, and it makes the best pulled pork you've ever had in your life.
Why is pork butcher's twine?
To keep it rolled up.
No, I mean, you said you became
The person who was
get.
Sourcing things kept forgetting to go to the butcher's department and ask them for butcher's twine.
Now,
I was trying not to throw somebody under the bus, but thanks, Steve.
I've got like 2.5 rolls somewhere in my house. Yeah.
Sourcing stuff.
Find it.
Yeah,
oh.
Sourcing stuff. There was
not
a challenge
to point the
because
at him. Oh.
Just no, it wasn't him.
Oh,
just because I put it on a list did not mean that they were going to notice that it was on the list, because for whatever reason, the person doing the purchasing never marked stuff off the list.
Oh.
So they just always had an open list, and they were trying to remember if they had stuff or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Semi-organized, but not quite organized.
No, not organized at all. It was it was rough.
A long time ago, before you could actually buy it off the shelf, I would ask the butcher when they actually did butchering at, like, Del Champs.
And that was what I would tell them to do. Just when you're at the butcher shop, ask them for and they did that for a few times, then they forgot.
Do Stuckey's and Sims do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they may even put the porchetta together for you, but I'm sure they've got butcher's twine.
If you buy it all there,
That's an awesome place.
Yeah. And have you been to the Butcher's Block in 8 Mile?
No.
It's been there a very long time, too. It recently changed hands, but I rode by the other day, and Mike, guess what they had painted out on the window? School bus stop pizzas sold inside.
What's that?
The school bus stop pizzas.
Huh.
Remember the pizzas we got in elementary school?
In the cafeteria?
Yeah. There are people that crave those.
Oh, you better believe it.
I don't think we
They
got
even
those.
Have it online now. You can get the recipes on.
When I went to school, we actually had wholesome meals when I went to school.
Pizza's very wholesome. I mean, you think about it. You've got, in tomato sauce, you've got a lot of vitamins and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese gives you protein. Meat gives you protein. Loaded up with vegetables. You've got some bread. Yeah. I mean, but you eat one slice. That's a meal.
No.
We as Americans do not eat one slice.
No, man. You got to have a whole
Because we're in America and we can do what we want.
We can afford more than one. Yeah. It's just like soccer. It's great in other countries. But we're in America, we can afford interesting ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you do, Stu, for Christmas?
I slept all day, watched a lot of YouTube.
Didn't have anything good to eat?
I told you I had 2 tuna fish sandwiches that night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and I did them upright, too, with finely diced red onion mixed in.
Oh,
the way the Lord intended.
He went all out.
I also had a cheeseburger from Mason Hill Farms. My niece gifted a bunch of us with selections from Mason Hill Farm, and I got 2 packs of the...
So we got from... From the station, we got big old package of meat from Mason Hill.
Yeah,
I got
the jalapeno burgers. I made a patty melt as soon as I got home Christmas Eve with it, and then for lunch the next day, I just made a regular hamburger, dressed it the way the original hamburgers were dressed, which is my favorite way: mustard, ketchup, onion, pickle. That's all that went on burgers originally.
See, that's the thing they don't draw up in all this popular media is that, you know, as single guys, what are we supposed to eat?
Burgers.
You know, I mean, there's no big turkey meal for us. There's no...
Start it.
Yeah, it's called meatloaf, buddy.
I love meatloaf.
Oh, I do too.
Especially it's got a little crusty crunchiness around the edge.
Mm-hmm.
That dark caramelization.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And boy, does it make a good sandwich the next day, slapped in some white bread.
Yes, sir.
We will talk about meatloaf when we come back. How about
I would
that,
like to talk further about that, yes.
Yeah, about the whole meatloaf genre. It's a genre.
More than one meatloaf?
Oh, yeah.
You can let your meatloaf on different levels?
Yeah, I'm not referring to the singer.
We can say what we want to say. The FCC is no longer upstairs.
Yeah.
So about loafing your meat. Yeah.
Yeah, so, what's the chances they or anyone else is listening right now?
Three
see,
people
you
were
there. Yeah. I wasn't
I
going
see
there.
Four.
I didn't even think of that, and then you had to bring it up.
251-343-0106. Mike, what does that number do?
That is the post-Christmas call-in line.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Stu is just biting at the bit.
Well, Stephen asked what we did for Crema, and I had totally forgotten that I had planned a week ahead to cook myself a nice Christmas morning breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So I had myself a nice old slab of country ham, a couple of biscuits, some grits, and some homemade red-eye gravy.
Yeah,
with both ingredients, oil and coffee. And
there
that's
you go.
All that goes in it. No brown sugar, no molasses, no roux, and certainly no tomato sauce, which I saw on Food Network one time because they had no idea why it was called red-eye gravy. Coffee, strong coffee, is called red-eye.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that, red eye gravy. I've seen other ones that say that it looks like a red eye in the pan because the coffee's there and the oil gets on the outside. But it doesn't because coffee is brown. I'm fairly certain it just comes from the fact that coffee is called red eye.
The whole idea behind red eye was you take the red eye flight. I mean, it's the latest flight. You got to get up early or
red eye. In fact, there's a brand of coffee called red eye that has like twice the caffeine in normal coffee. Like someone would need that. But I had myself biscuits and biscuits with red eye gravy, grits, country ham, a couple scrambled eggs. Yeah, I had myself a good old breakfast. But we were talking about meatloaf. Meatloaf is a genre.
A genre.
I'll throw one at you. You've been to Mediterranean Sandwich Company or some other Euro shack, and you've seen the meat that they carve.
Mm-hmm.
That is a loaf made of 50% ground lamb and 50% ground beef with spices mixed in.
Okay.
That is a meatloaf. Hmm.
That's what I was reading. They said the best meatloaf ingredients, 2 pounds ground beef, 80/20 blend. I don't want what?
80/20, 80% lean, 20% fat. That's ground chuck.
Ah, I got you.
Yeah. I don't understand a recipe for meatloaf. The whole purpose of it was you only had so much ground beef, but you had so many mouths to feed. What can we do to string it out? Well, we can add some breadcrumbs to it. Or we can add oatmeal to it. We can add quick oatmeal, unflavored. Really good for it. It makes it extremely healthy as well. Crushed crackers are also very common. You just need some kind of breading that's going to soak up the fat
and
the stuff. Panko. Alec Naiman used panko in the meatloaf, I believe, at Naiman's Market years ago. He used panko for all his breadcrumbs. But it's whatever you got, ground turkey, if you've got some. A friend of mine used to, when they were trying to eat healthy, would make a meatloaf with ground turkey and oatmeal.
Yeah.
It was an okay meatloaf. But the next day, it made the best meatloaf sandwich you've ever had. It was an unbelievable meatloaf sandwich. Mike's sitting here nodding off thinking about meatloaf.
I'm sitting here dreaming. I want some meatloaf.
Didn't you, you mentioned, it wasn't there a meatloaf sandwich at the downtown diner, Bob's? I thought you said there was...
Meatloaf omelet.
They do have a meatloaf
sandwich, but they have a meatloaf omelet. Mike and I went to Bob's last week after the show for a little Christmas dinner, but I did not get the meatloaf omelet, although that had been my intention. Because I saw Mitchell's omelet, which has inside of it wilted spinach. That's always nice, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And bacon, and ground patty sausage, and ground up Kaneka sausage.
Ooh, wow.
And it was a spectacular omelet. Was not overpowering, because one of the things that I've found with Kaneka is it was just like white people trying to cook with curry in the 70s. They kill everything with it.
Right.
I mean, gumbo with Kaneka in it is unedible because all you taste is Kaneka. It's not good for gumbo.
It's overpowering,
and a lot of people overuse it, Well, this was just enough of it so that you tasted separately all three pork products that were in it.
Hmm.
It was delicious.
Do you happen to know what Mike or Bob puts down into his meatloaf or his type?
I do not know. And
it's ground beef. It's probably the head of the
patty. It's just ground beef. But I know for me personally, there are all types of meatloafs out there, and all of them are known to have a sauce of some of sort mm-hmm. on them.
That's the topping, yeah.
But a lot of restaurants use a brown gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's more of another thing. The ketchup, to me, much better.
I or barbecue sauce. Sauce. I do not care for the brown gravy. I do not care for the brown gravy.
Yeah, it's not as good. Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. To me,
it's from the Northeast more, that brown gravy. It's a German influence going to be on it.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm flaming the Germans for it.
You can blame a German.
It's a ketchup base.
But that sauce is actually called sauce Espanol. Mm-hmm. It is a French sauce named after the Spanish.
Mm.
It's just beef gravy.
But let me tell you what. I was at the Greer's in Fairhope one night doing a tasting with Bailey's original root beer barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said babies at first.
No.
You're tasting babies.
I was talking to Lucy came up to me, and we were talking about different things. And this has been a few years back. And she said, have you tried the Miss So-and-So's meatloaf topping? And I said, no. And so I walked over there, and this lady, maybe late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. had perfected the sauce, the tomato-based sauce,
mm-hmm.
to go on it, because she says, all these young brides today, they don't know how to make the tomato-y based ketchup-style sauce to go on top of meatloaf.
Yeah,
so I've done it for them.
Yeah.
And I put it in a jar and marketed it. Now, I don't know if that product's still around.
Yeah. Meatloaf comes to us from Italy, and that's why you see it topped with tomato sauce.
Well, that makes sense.
That's an Italian meatloaf, mm-hmm. which is delicious.
But I just thought it was a brilliant idea,
mm-hmm.
Having it already ready to pour on top of the meatloaf.
Well, you could put Worcestershire sauce in, so I mean, that really has a nice spice to it. Mm-hmm. Add it that way. You were mentioning root beer. I've had A&W root beer mixed in. Oh, man, dude, that, yeah.
That's more of a vanilla-y taste.
Oh, but it was.
Whereas
sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
Really, whereas molasses.
Marcus is pure
birch beer.
Sassafras.
No, it's birch.
Okay. And,
it's not sassafras, it's birch.
But it's heavily.
Kind of sharp.
Well, yeah, birch is much sharper than the other.
It says, you know, bark's got bite in the commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because it has caffeine. Mm-hmm. Not all root beers have caffeine.
Yeah, most root beers don't have caffeine. It's naturally uncaffeinated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael, you would have loved my mother's meatloaf because she discovered you take a pound of ground beef and a pound of Jimmy Dean's breakfast sausage and mix it together.
That sounds good.
Oh, my gosh, that was good.
I'd like to do that with some Italian sausage.
Any ground sausage would work.
Now,
I've done it with it.
You were talking about Kinecka. Could you do that? Or would it be overpowering?
I have done a stuffed meatloaf before where I took pans, the little small loaf pans, mm-hmm. filled it halfway, put a piece of grilled Kinecka in it, covered it up the rest of the way, and then cooked the meatloafs on my smoker. Then which is based on an Italian holiday dish where they run a length of Italian sausage through the middle of a meatloaf and cook it like that. So when you cut into
that.
The thing, you've got a real round disc staring at you from your slice of square meatloaf.
You could do cheese that way too, like a mozzarella or something. Huh?
Yeah, a lot of the cheese, there are cheese meatloafs out there. I've seen a lot of grocery stores do them, and they just mix in shredded cheddar in with the mix.
Interesting.
But you make meatloaf with whatever is on
jalapenos.
Hand.
Jalapenos?
Yeah.
Man, dude.
Yeah.
Get you some jalapenos.
For you, maybe. Not me.
No,
I just can't.
I'm just saying, that'd be a
That'd be, would be two
punch.
Days.
Mm-hmm.
Belching and hurting.
Yeah, well.
You know?
Awesome. Yeah. I worked at a steakhouse called Red Star Tavern that was over in Spanish Fort years ago, and they had a meatloaf that had big chunks of mushroom in it. And they topped it with a barbecue sauce glaze.
Never had
that. That stuff was so good. And it had pork. It had ground pork mixed in with the beef as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was porky.
So I was reading here something. It said 8 common mistakes that will leave you with subpar meatloaf. And one of those is you're slicing into the loaf too early.
Yeah, you need to, any meat that you cook, you need to let it sit for anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes to let the temperature come down so that the liquids in it will get reabsorbed back into it. It's like you get a brand new steak, hot off the grill, you cut into it, it leaks everywhere. You let it sit there for 5 to 7 minutes, it won't leak everywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah. You're redistributing the liquids inside of it back in there.
I just thought, you know, as soon as it's done, man, I'm ready to go, you know, cut it.
Yeah, that's just the same with any protein. You just want to let it rest.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Vegetables in a meatloaf?
Yeah. I just said mushrooms. I've always put onions in there.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because they, yeah.
So, I was thinking like peppers or
corn. Want to.
Yeah.
Corn probably wouldn't be
onions,
so
I've had it with onions.
Oh, absolutely. Onions and peppers I've had. Jalapenos, like you mentioned, I've had.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. I'm not one for steak sauce, but it makes a great glaze for meatloaf.
See, that's what I was meaning. With like the Worcestershire or the A1.
Well, the A1 bold and spicy is really good. Ooh. Luger's Steakhouse is in Brooklyn. It's the most famous steakhouse in America. And we'll talk about it when we come back. 251-343-0106.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat red eggs, too much sugar and donut. I will pay for gumbo.
All right. I do anything for gumbo sometimes. I know a lot of people do gumbo at Christmas time.
Yeah.
I used to make gumbo.
Very traditional in Mobile, going back to the 1800s.
Yeah. I used to make it. It just takes it's so expensive these days to do it. But anyway, going back to the meatloaf.
Can you put meatloaf in gumbo and call it gumbo?
Chunks. It has okra in it.
As long as it's got that okra, man.
Meatloaf gumbo.
I'll learn my lesson a long time ago about make sure that okra's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Question.
Yes.
We didn't mention putting eggs in.
Yeah, put eggs in. It's Obviously, a binder.
My question is, can you put like crab or seafood in?
You could. I don't know that you'd want to.
I mean, would the taste? Because the richness of
I got to think if it tasted good, some Cajun would have already done it.
That's true.
Yeah. Topped it with remoulade.
That's true.
Yeah. I like crawfish.
Yeah. But I was talking before we went on break, Peter Luger's Steakhouse in Brooklyn, New York's the most famous steakhouse probably in the world.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. You're not in the know, boy. It ain't famous in Laurel. But they essentially invented the concept of steak sauce. And they tell you when they bring you their steak sauce to the table, this goes on anything but the steak. So I found a bottle of Peter Luger's famous steak sauce. It's ketchup with minced onions in it.
Minced onions?
Yeah.
I kind of like with Mike. You put in the raw onion, and I like a big chunk of...
When you do onions and meatloaf, a good way to do it is to get your box grater out and grate the onions. So you don't have any chunks, and you get all the juice in there.
I don't want the chunk, buddy. I like a chunky.
Yeah.
We got Jarhead, by the way.
All right.
Uh-oh, Jarhead. I bet he's got a meatloaf idea.
How was your Christmas, Jarhead?
Oh, it was great. Try frying a turkey without a thermometer.
Okay.
It turned out great. I used an infrared thermometer that I had laying around because I had broke mine and I forgot to go buy another one. But
I'm sure the mercury does wonders for the turkey.
It was a fried turkey. It was delicious, and I eat enough of it that I won't need none until next Thanksgiving.
There you go. That's how you do it.
But, now, you were talking about cooking some kind of pork a while ago, and you said don't season it this certain way because you make it taste like bacon. Well, what's wrong with that?
Because the traditional dish is not smoked. I was saying don't smoke it. Because have you ever had a fresh ham that's not smoked but roasted in an oven? It's unbelievable.
Probably a long time ago.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's nice to try these things not smoked that are smoked because they're delicious without smoking. And then it helps you appreciate the smoke when you get it, too.
Well, there's two things I want to talk to you guys about. First is I heard you say you had three listeners a while ago. Well, who's the other two other than me? Well,
we're at the six right now, man. We're at the six.
But I have recently got into, and I never liked them when I was younger. It was kind of like going to Hardee's and getting white gravy. White gravy to me was just taboo. And it's white limas. And I have started getting to where I love me some white limas with some Kaneka sausage in it. And I actually made some yesterday for the first time, but I'm asking you guys, what is the best way? But mine turned out great, but I used the dry beans, and they just take so daggum long.
That's what makes them great, man. Slow cooking.
Now I put them in a crock pot, let them go for about 6 hours, put a little cornstarch in there with them to thicken them up a little bit, and some Kaneka sausage with some cornbread. Ooh, make your tongue beat your brains out.
Yeah. If you want beans and peas done faster than that, just open a can.
Well, it's more
where they've already done all of that long cooking for you. And I get it. It's not the same. Is that the Allen's? That brand Allen's that you find at Dollar General?
Right.
Man, I'm telling you right now, the peas and beans in those cans are as good as what Grandma makes.
Well, I have found out, you know, I always used to cook fresh collards for New Year's. Them that they got at Rouse's in the can, oh, they're so much quicker. And just brown a little bacon in the bottom of the pan and dump them in there and go for it. Oh, yes, sirree.
Yeah, you can make swamp soup.
That's what I do for New Year's. In fact, I made some for Christmas for my family.
No, I think I'm going to do either some, probably some fried pork chops, some black-eyed peas, rice.
Sounds like you're going green to Butch Cassidy's on a regular Wednesday.
Hey, what's wrong with that now? I ain't had a Butch burger in so long, it ain't even funny.
Whose fault's that?
That is the Wednesday special at Butch Cassidy's, but what does he normally do for Christmas, for New Year's Eve? Do you remember, Mike? Is it ham steaks? He does the ham steaks.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Roy always does traditional New Year's food for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Black-eyed peas. And
yeah.
Well, I tell you, you know, you're talking about that Butch Burger. If you're ever down in the New Orleans and on the Bourbon Street and go, to the liberal side of Bourbon Street, there's a little place down there. I think it used to be a Waffle House. Yeah, I've seen it on an episode of NCIS New Orleans. It's called, get this, the Clover Grill.
Clover Grill.
Hmm. Now, they have a hamburger. When they bring it out on the plate, it kind of makes a Butch Burger look like a Hardy biscuit.
It's a big old thing, huh?
Big old thing,
it's
huh?
It's a big old burger.
Well, I tell you, Roy was in New Orleans recently and got my favorite burger I've ever had. And it's odd because New Orleans is not a burger city. You can find some good ones.
Well, you got
there,
a Portico.
That's exactly what I was talking about. That's my favorite burger in America.
Mm-hmm.
They have one kind of cheese, shredded. They don't melt it.
No.
Don't need to.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
Well, the part that meets the burger melts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The part on top doesn't. You lose the flavor in cheese when you melt it.
Mm-hmm.
It drastically. But, I mean, and their options are you can have a salad, you can have a baked potato, or you can have a salad and baked potato.
How about that option?
That's another good one in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think I'd have the baked potato and the salad.
That's what I got, blue cheese on that salad. But, yeah, next time you're in New Orleans, man, that's in the, I struggle with the Marigny district on, I believe on Esplanade. I struggle with that whole neighborhood. Great neighborhood. Just the other side of the French Quarter, much hipper, less touristy. Great bars and restaurants in that area.
So, Jarhead, you got a meatloaf recipe, man?
Ground beef.
And we're done.
And that's it. Put it in the loaf pan. Put a little onions and little peppers in it. Pour a little ketchup on top. Now, Rouse's used to sell. You were talking about the pre-canned stuff. Rouse's used to sell an actual Hunt's brand.
Mm-hmm.
Meatloaf sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what the difference was between that and tomato paste, but
I think it was basically Mandwich sauce. It was very similar to Mandwich sauce.
Which also would make a good tomato paste.
Yeah. Mandwich poured over the top would be good.
That's just lazy.
Yeah.
What's wrong with being lazy?
Our entire economy is built around
convenience. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm sorry, that's convenience.
Same thing. Convenience and lazy are the same thing. Well, Jarhead, we hope that you have the happiest of New Year's, my friend.
Same here, guys. Y'all have a great one, and hopefully we'll talk to y'all next week.
Yes, provolone. Sir. Next year.
All right, provolone, brother.
You know, talking about mixing your proteins, your beef and then the
pork.
Veal. That's like bolognese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like doing Italian sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a long time ago, Conecker used to sell a pack of ground.
Yeah, patties.
Patties. Well, what patty? It was like
Nettles still does.
Who does?
Nettles sausage.
Nettles. Okay.
Yeah, they have a smoked patty sausage.
No but casing. I want it that seasoned. My hamburger, I just want it, you know, basic. Not basic, but I do like to do bolognese every, and it's a day. It's an all day long thing for me. I get up, eat breakfast. I'll start chopping,
mm-hmm.
and I do it in layers like gumbo. I just do it in layers until it's done around 6 or 7 that evening.
Yeah. Well, you know how it's traditional to add a little sugar into a bolognese to pull it to tighten it up. No, it's to tighten it up so it's not watery. That's the only purpose. It's very little sugar. That is traditional.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, that's how they do it in Italy where they invented it, Mike. Mm. But sometimes the sugar content will be from carrots.
Okay.
Will shred carrots. I've done that. It's very good, but it's also very carroty. I mean, you can taste it.
You don't have to put as many carrots in there.
You're in there for the sugar. So you got to put a lot of carrots in it if you're going for the sugar.
I do what the recipe says. It's really not that much. But.
Yeah. But now, are you using tomato paste?
Probably.
That's your sugar.
Well, all that's got sugar in it.
Yeah. Well, that tomato paste is tomato sauce with a ton of sugar reduced down into a paste.
You don't see, and it is a fruit.
And it's that much sugar is just all you're after, that little bits in the paste. That makes the whole thing come together, it's an emulsifier. It keeps the water and the fat from separating.
You see a lot of low sodium this and low sodium that. Mm-hmm. But I don't ever see any low sugar or
because you don't look.
I try. Look,
G. Hughes.
I gave you
a whole brand that's all he does. Tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, ketchup, all that. G. Hughes. And it's all really good stuff. He's a former Food Network chef who just looked at the diabetes issue in this country and said, what can I do to fix that?
Yeah. Well, I wonder what Paul thinks. Grand Bay, you got meatloaf toppings?
Yeah, man. My mama Mike would love it. She would make her own meatloaf sauce, like Ann Stu said, ketchup. She'd get a bowl, dump a bunch of ketchup in there, and then get a jar of mustard out, probably put a tablespoon of mustard.
Mm-hmm.
It was before the squeeze bottles. You know, I'm talking about the 60s and 70s.
The little jar,
Great coupon.
Probably French's or whatever was on sale. But then she would add Worcestershire sauce, A1, and some Heinz 57.
Mm.
Mix it all up. Get it all blended together. Make her meatloaf. Mop the sides, and then she pour kind of a thick layer on top. And man, that thing was good. It come out just like Mike likes, you know.
Brown and blackened. Well,
and Stu, you're right, too. It made the greatest meatloaf sandwiches the next day.
Let me ask you this. Would she ever take the stick of a stirring spoon and then poke holes down in the meatloaf? And then pour the sauce? Then pour the sauce and let the holes fill up? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you have that recipe?
Mike's got a little trickling down his mouth right now.
I'm telling you, man.
Thinking about meatloaf. He's going to go back to Bob's and get that omelet now. Hey, man, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thanks for calling
in. Hey, to all y'all, too.
Thank you, buddy.
Y'all, provolone.
Provolone, buddy.
251-343-0106. We got one last segment to go. Now we're listening to the smooth sounds of Michael Bailey and his trio.
Dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, welcome back.
Welcome back.
All right, welcome back to the B side.
Welcome back. The B side of the episode.
That's it.
Jarhead called right back in during the break, just said, hey, use venison in your meatloaf. I have done that.
Bison.
Yeah, bison's very good. Mm-hmm. Ground elk. And the bison together. Oh,
yeah,
I bet
that'd be good. Ostrich is the most lean protein.
It is a really lean. The healthiest protein we can consume on planet Earth is whale meat, but it's unless you live in Japan, it's illegal.
Not python?
No, python is not delicious either. Whale is supposed to be delicious. It's another. Well, it's a mammal. It's not a fish.
Right.
It's red meat, like you would eat a steak. They eat whale steaks. In fact, if you've ever read Moby Dick, they refer to. He can't wait to catch this whale, and he's going to cut himself. Whoever harpoons it gets to cut the first steak out of it and enjoy it. But like I say, other than Japan, it's not legal to consume whale. The international community says it's not legal for Japan to consume whale either, and they say it's our culture. Get in our way, we'll shoot you. There have been a lot of battles around the...
We hunted them to extinction, so there's a reason for that. Yeah.
The Southern Ocean. In case y'all didn't know, we got another ocean on planet Earth. We were taught wrong in school. There is a separate ocean that encircles Antarctica that never mixes water with the Atlantic or the Pacific. And it's called the Southern Ocean. They've only figured it out like in the last 20 years or so.
Well, what is the planet... 90%? I mean, we only live on like a small
It's about 70% water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the surface area is 70% water because there's a lot less water under the surface than there is on top.
We've only explored 5% of the ocean.
Yeah.
And what are we doing in space? That's a whole different show.
We know more about the surface of Mars than we do the bottom of the oceans.
Yes.
Crazy. Earth. Yeah.
I wonder if you, let's say, the highest point of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And then the deepest part of the sea, if you like, could compress it like this, I know some of you could see it.
It would just be a marble.
Would there be a layer of water on top of the earth, or would there be
Mount Everest earth? In the deepest part of the was the trench? Was that the
Mariana Trench? Yeah.
It still would not. It would still have hundreds of miles. That's how deep it is.
Okay.
So it deep.
Yeah, Mount Everest would fill it up, and I think there would be 2 miles left of the trench above Mount Everest once you dumped it into the trench.
Crazy.
We'll throw the Andes in there, too.
Why not? Or the Andes.
How would you just leave it like it is?
Oh, I Andes thought you said Andes. You were talking about like independent films.
We'll just leave it like it is and get back on meatloaf.
Well, Charlie has arrived. I wonder what kind of meatloaf man he is.
Charlie, you like meatloaf?
I love meatloaf.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which as what's
matter of fact, Marguerite will cook a big one and cut it up and freeze three of them. And
what song do you like of his?
Heaven by the Dashboard Lights. You know Charlie's a Heaven by the Dashboard Lights kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could tell when I first met him, he seemed like one.
Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas, Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie's in here, by the way, y'all.
Yeah, it was a fine Christmas, and the best part, we got together with family.
Yeah,
and, that's important. That's the most important.
Yeah.
Your own family or just a random one?
Oh, no, we picked one up down in Tillman's Corner, walking around the parking lot.
Yeah. That Walmart's got everything.
Well, they all got bicycles out there. Somebody must have gave a bunch of bicycles.
You need to get on one of them green scooters that you rent and just, you know. Get a family outing in that way. Go downtown.
Hey, that's a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good way for grandkids to get their inheritance.
We don't have any bike lanes to drive in.
No.
Sidewalks in most places.
That don't stop them, though. They just drive anywhere they want to with those things.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Merry Christmas. Good to see you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and everybody listening.
All four of you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What about your folks? I thought they listened in.
My folks are gone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
See, that's just how much I know. Now, well, as we have that awkward silence.
It was four until I got out of the car, so we're down to three.
Mike, talk about champagne real quick. Get y'all some champagne.
Folks, get out there. You know, there's going to be it is champagne season. It is a lot of heavier drinking
season.
So be careful this year how much you consume. Try to have a designated driver. Just stay home and drink. But you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get really good champagne or sparklings. Cook's is very popular, which I've mentioned before. Mm-hmm. But in the Napa Valley area, they make like Charles Krug has a Napa version. Mom's has a Napa version or California version. You can get some really good sparklings out of California that are just as good, if not better, than some of the French stuff you're getting. Nothing against French. I love French wines.
It's just expensive.
Yeah.
Prosecco and Cava are not.
Those are great alternatives. I just rather to be. We don't get any money from Cook's, but yeah. I'd rather wake up New Year's morning, celebrate with some Cook's that night, or maybe one a little better, and then next morning make you some mimosas, get some cranberry juice
or poinsettias,
cranberry juice or the orange juice and. And go online, look at YouTube how the proper portions you should pour, and then just throw that away. Throw that away and pour what you want to pour. Yeah. But yeah, you know, mimosas on New Year's morning, and that way you get some vitamin C.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
In the 90s, it was a big trend to make Jell-O with champagne. Because the effervescence would get caught into the gelatin. Mm. Did you ever try that?
No.
Sounds cool, doesn't it?
Jell-O shooters, is that what you're suggesting?
The alcohol would have been cooked out of this. Or wouldn't be enough alcohol for it to matter. It's just enough that you're trapping bubbles in that gelatin so that they release when you eat it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
If you want a similar sensation, go to Rock and Roll Sushi and get the sushi with Pop Rocks on top.
There you go.
What?
Yeah, you don't really taste them, but you have that sensation while you're eating the sushi of the rocks popping.
Wow.
It is neat.
I have not explored that portion.
I had never heard of that.
Yeah.
They call a thriller roll, which, ooh, dude, got crab meat on top. Man. Mm-hmm.
It's a good place. I like Rock and Roll Sushi.
Great concept.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful concept. You know, people come up with new ideas all the time. That was a great one. About Keith Fleming over there. He's the one that took that thing of me dressed up for Christmas.
As a hot dog?
That chase and made it live, you know, where I was laughing in it. But he had come up with Big Potato Company. Mm-hmm. And it's baked potatoes and sandwiches. And you got several dozen different ways to make baked potatoes. Just these great. So why didn't I think of that things?
I'll tell you. One of the best things I've ever had on a baked potato was Kahlua barbecue sauce.
Really?
Barbecue sauce itself, not great.
Kahlua,
but it was great in a baked potato. Because I tried Kahlua it on burgers and a couple of barbecue. And I went, oh, no, I really don't.
Let me write that down. Yeah.
If you can find it. All right, folks. This is the last time you'll ever hear from us
this year.
It'll be a year from now before you hear from us again.
That's it. Folks, get out there. Support local, be local. Be careful with your alcohol intake.
Remember, designated driver is not the person who's drank the least. It's the person who's drank nothing.
Responsibly, and yes, absolutely. So get out there. Be safe, folks. And of all else,
provolone.
Provolone, yes. More provolone next year.